Night Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. Maybe it was as Murray on the Murray Tyler Moore Show or Captain Stubing on the Love Boat. Chances are Gavin McLeod has entertained you on your TV, and he's along to talk about the highlights of those years. Plus, we wrap up our look at the league with the folks that created it all, and you might be a little surprised as to how it all got started. Let's get to the point.
This is the point.
Gavin McLeod has a secure place in television history with so many great roles, including that of Captain Meryl Stubing from The Love Boat, one of the highest-rated and longest-running series on television in the 70s and the 80s. With so many iconic roles before this, I asked Gavin how he managed to fall into this job.
Well, I just finished 7 years on The Murray Tyler Moore Show. And after that, my wife and I had a nightclub act. I said, let's do that. That's enough television. Let's go back and do our nightclub act and get out in front of the people. And I got a call from Aaron Spelling's office, and they said they wanted me to do this new pilot called The Love Boat. And they sent me the script, and I asked my agent about it. I said, did you read it? He said, yeah. I said, what do you think about it? He says, I swear, and this is a quote, he says, I think it sucks. You want to read it? I said, yeah, I want to read it. So we had a place in Palm Springs. We took it down there. I read it. I said, I think this has never been done on television before, a show on a cruise ship with three different kinds of stories. So I had my wife read it. She read the first 10 pages. She said, I want to tell you, if they cast this right, put it on at the right time, this is going to be a hit. I said, wow. So I met Aaron, and he said, you know, we want you to do this. And I said, well, I really like it, too. So we made a deal. We made the pilot. And right after the pilot, I went away to do Andy Get Your Gun with Debbie Reynolds and up in San Francisco, brought it back to L.A., and the pilot sold. I said, wow. And so up to that time, I didn't even know there was an elevator on a cruise ship. And it turned out to be the critics really called it mindless television, but the audiences, the people, just loved it. They loved seeing these big guest stars they hadn't seen for years. They loved seeing the new regular people on it. They loved seeing the three different kinds of stories. They loved seeing the traveling. And so instead of being a mindless television show, after a while, we became goodwill ambassadors for the United States. It's hard to believe. And we were in 90 countries, and we're still in 90 countries in reruns. And so that's the history of what's happened. And it, consequently, Princess Cruises, the ships we shot the show on when we were on the water, outside, we were in the studio for interiors, but outside, we had two small ships then. And now we have 18 mega ships, and the last one is the one we're going to be on next Wednesday in Florida naming. So it's been a terrific ride, and the Love Boat really has been lived up to its name, the Love Boat, for us.
So over the run of the series, what were some of his favorite moments?
Well, one of my favorite ones, I have to tell you, is no big name, but Julie McCoy was getting married, Lauren Tweez. And so we went to the wedding, my wife and I, Patty. So we sat in back of Aaron Spelling and his wife, Candy. So we're sitting back there. Aaron turns around, and this is, Patty, I've got a great part for you next week. So my wife, who was a singer-entertainer, did a lot of musicals, she went on the next week and played this wonderful character. And then she did six other shows during all the years. So that was a big kick for me. Wow. But one of my big thrills was really being a big fan of the musical theater. We did a show called The Love Boat Follies. And we had Ethel Merman, Carol Channing, Della Reese, Ann Miller, Van Johnson, and Cab Calloway star in that thing. And we were there for 2 weeks with them. And I got to tell you, it was one of the highlights of my life. You know, and now everybody's gone. Now, I still see Carol here. Carol's 93 years old, and she's still very active down here in the in the Palm Springs area. And Della Reese is still here, but the rest are all gone. And that was a thrill. That was a great thrill just to be in their presence. And that's what we had week after week for me personally as an actor, to be in the presence of these people that were huge stars and I wanted to be like when I was a little boy. And now they were doing my show. So it was a... You can't buy that for all the tea in China.
Fans still love the show, and I asked Gavin why he thinks it's so revered right up to today.
Well, I think, number one, it's all entertainment. I don't think you're really seeing anybody getting killed or stabbed or really on major drugs or anything. We did one story with drugs once, you know. But I think one reason is because we had three different kinds of stories. Aaron always said we want to have a sophisticated comedy story. That's going to be kind of a little difficult, but we're going to have that every week. We're going to have a broad comedy story, and we're going to have a poignant story with the hearts of Doug. And if you can do that week after week, I remember the New York News, I forget what her name was, said what they're trying to accomplish with that show cannot be done. But it was done, and it started an industry. Before we went on the air, only the affluent, rich people cruised. Nobody cruised. And then it became a part of everybody's vernacular. They started talking about it on other shows. And we became Goodwill Ambassadors for the United States in 90 countries, all over the place. I mean, it was just awesome. I think it gives people... Like I always wondered why were people doing it? So we always had an apartment in New York. So I went back to New York after the show was canceled, and I went to the cleaners. And this young girl said, she said, "Aren't you the captain?" I said, "I used to be." She says, "You have to put that show back on." I said, "Why is that?" "Because that show used to give me something to dream about. And there's nothing on television that gives me anything to dream about." And that was one of the reasons I think it was successful, you know, Mike, because it did give them something, people to dream about. They realized those dreams. And then, I mean, I was just on one of our ships the other day in L.A. Harbor, and I saw the people coming on and going to Mexico on that particular cruise. And you know, it looked like they didn't have two nickels to rub together. You know what? They're taking cruises. People love to take a cruise and get away from the problems, have wonderful food, see nice things, nice shows. The price is right. So it's a part of our culture now. We never thought doing a television show that we would have that kind of impact.
Gavin and the cast of The Love Boat are working with the folks at Princess Cruises for some pretty exciting things that will be happening early in the year. Get more information at princess.com. And if you want to catch The Love Boat and relive some old memories, episodes are available right now on Netflix. Here it is, the latest in pop culture. TNT has given a green light to a new action drama to be added to their lineup. It is Agent X, and it stars Jeff Hefner along with Sharon Stone and Gerald McCraney. And it tells the story of John Case, who's a smooth, athletic, tough, and quick-witted agent who can be brutally effective when his duties require it. The new show, TNT says, fits in perfectly with their expanding line of action dramas like Legends, and it'll premiere on the network in the second half of 2015. Mark Waid's web portal Thrillbent is now coming to the print world with a new deal he struck with IDW. It'll include a lot of material that's already on the website and a revival of Empire, the project he did with Barry Kitson a few years back that got a lot of fan and critic acclaim as well. Sources at IDW say to look for some big announcements about some of the material coming into print as early as the beginning of the new year. When you pick up your Marvel Comics this week, look carefully at the title page and you'll see a very familiar name has been added. Jack Kirby's name is appearing as a co-creator on a number of titles, including Fantastic Four, Inhuman, Wolverine and the X-Men, and others as well. Apparently, it's part of the settlement deal that brought the litigation to an end between the Kirby heirs and Marvel Comics. The WWE Network has now dropped their requirement to have a commitment of 6 months to subscribe to their programming. Now you can go month by month for the regular price of just $9.99. And if those who sign up right now do it quickly, the entire month of November is also free. You get details on that at WWE.com. The cast of HBO's Game of Thrones is looking ahead. They've renegotiated their contracts for an option for a season 7. With the fourth season finale bringing in some 7 million viewers and a fifth season set to begin on the network in the spring, more than likely HBO will also give a green light to a season 6 and a season 7 for the series, sometime probably during 2015. FXX series, The Lead, behind the put-downs, the slams, and all the improv, they're the minds that conceived it all. Jeff and Jackie Schaefer are the creators of the series, who told me that in the beginning, they lured in their talented cast in kind of an unusual way.
There was no ad.
Very interesting.
There was no ad. The process,
and there was no casting call.
And there was no casting call. The process was, Jeff and Jackie are going to do a show. It's going to be somewhat scripted with the ability to do improvisation along the lines of between Curb and Seinfeld of what Jeff has done before, and that there is a concept for it, but we're not going to tell you what the concept is. We're not going to show you a pilot, and you have to commit to the show without seeing anything. So deals were made with the cast. They didn't read a word. All they did was sit down with us, and we explained to them the kind of character that we thought they would be playing. We had it all. We had FX had seen the document. We'd seen the document, all of that. And it was just a series of sort of meals. We had tacos and cupcakes with Mark and Katie. We had
and
a nice
tequila.
And tequila. I was leaving that out. Some nice peppermint tea with Nick Kroll, who to this day still thinks that we were totally cheap and didn't buy him breakfast. It's that thing where everyone's like, no, I'm not going to eat. Are you going to eat? I'm not going to eat. John LaJoie drinks and wasabi peas with John LaJoie.
Yeah, it was a series of, like, that was our casting. It was a series of, hey, sitting down and talking to the person about, here's what we're sort of thinking of, here's what you're like, and just sort of, because we already knew they were funny, so we literally just wanted to have coffee or drink.
Sure, every episode has a lot of improv, but the Schaefers told me that they plan out the overall season with a lot of care.
You know, sometimes it really just, all the time, it really is about the arcs of the stories. It's all not only the arc of the story of what we're doing in the current season, but what we also see for the season to come. And who do you want to feel like is being on top? Like season one, I feel like in the pilot, we introduced Andre as the punching bag so specifically that it was so great that in that 6-episode arc, you brought him back around as the champion. And
then
it was
this season, I think you're exactly right. This season, it was fun. We wanted Jenny to win one, but also it was about this season of having the loser and the winner being
live in the same house. So that became the idea for last season of why she had to win and he had to lose for those two trophies to be on that bookcase all season.
There's a plan. I know it doesn't seem like it, but there is.
The fantasy football element bleeds over to the cast behind the scenes, too.
But it's funny because off screen, they really do love to all compete for who's going to win. They do take it very personally when you write them in as the winner or the loser.
Even so, when we do the draft episode, like, and they see the draft board, they're all looking and going, I win. Yeah. They go like, by the way, last year, Katie called it. She looked at her draft and in the season 5 premiere, and she goes, I bet I win. And we're like,
winner.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And like, she's like, no, this is a good team. I bet I win. She was totally wrong.
Like I said, the cast also plays fantasy football in real life, in their own league, but the scenarios are a little different, as Steve Renazzisi explains.
Well, I think people get disappointed when they're like, oh, you guys don't talk shit to each other in real fantasy. It's like, no, we don't, because we work for 14 hours a day with each other. We spend that whole time abusing each other verbally. I don't give a shit when I get home that Mark's going to beat me this week. It's like, I'm not going to go take my time out and go, hey, you're an asshole, you shit sipper. I'll see you in 3 hours. You know, like, I can't do it. None of us can do it. So we have fun with football. We enjoy the backdrop, but the insanity is, we're not nearly at that level.
There's a little more of season 6 of The League coming up. You can see those episodes every Wednesday on FXX. Catch up on the season with the app FX Now, or you can also see seasons 1-5 on Netflix. That's it for now, but when we're back again in a few days, who knows how many of the new series from this year's television season will have gotten the axe. But there are some success stories, and one of those is ABC's Cristela. And we talked to the lady that put that all together, Cristela Alonso. All that and more to be found on websites like ComicMix.com, MichaelDavisWorld.com, GetThePointRadio.com, and in the iTunes podcast directory. Follow us on social media under The Point Radio on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you back here in just a few days. Get the-